The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and it is Thursday, April 8th. It is around 3:40 p.m. Eastern, and I've got a message today that I want to share with you that I think you'll find interesting. I know when we start talking about this topic, I'm well aware that we are beyond Palm Sunday. That was about almost a week ago or so that we experienced Palm Sunday. And on that day, I had a message that that really came into my heart. And I didn't share it because we were out of town. We had family in, and we took a whole week off of podcasting. But I put this message down in my notes. So I kind of want to delve into this. I want to show you an angle of this that I've always been intrigued by, and that is the fact that it's amazing how we see, this story of Palm Sunday talks about, it goes from palm branches to the palm of hands. That's what we're going to talk about today on today's podcast. So let's get after this today. My context for this is going to be, our foundational scripture is going to be out of the book of John chapter 18. Instead of reading all of this, I'm probably going to pull some excerpts out of this and just kind of elaborate a little bit on this. But I've always found it intriguing that when you go to John 18, we see where the people of the city, the people around that was anticipating the Messiah, came together and laid palm branches, or they would take the branches of palm trees and they would lay them out or on the streets to welcome him, or they'd be waving them and they would be singing. They would actually be singing and crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." You can find this in John 18:13. It says, so we see this. We see them celebrating him. We see them embracing him. That we see that people are exuberant. They're excited that he's bringing miracles. He's bringing healing. He's bringing deliverance. He's bringing hope. He's bringing faith. He's bringing deliverance. And everyone is excited about him. Except, listen to me, but then of course the religious crowd, which we expect the religious crowd will always get flustered, they will always be agitated, and they will always produce opposition to truth. And that's what it really boils down today is, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is something caused Jesus, or really, it's not even Jesus, but it's something that caused the same people, listen to me, to celebrate the Messiah, to turn around and then cry out for his crucifixion and his persecution. The same answer that was relevant to then is relevant today. And the answer is, it's what come out of his mouth through teaching that began to initiate, to transition, listen to me, from palm branches to palms of the hands. And then you say, what do you mean by palms of the hands? Well, we'll get into that in a second. But Jesus understood that this was about to happen. In fact, when you go into John 18, verse 23, it says, Jesus answered to them and said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Okay, and that's what's happening. In our perception, the Son of Man is being glorified. Look around you, Jesus. They are glorifying you. They are welcoming you. They are embracing you. They are pulling out the palm branches and they're singing, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But this is not what Jesus meant when he said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man be glorified." They didn't understand this. This went over their head. Listen what he says. Verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Listen to what he says. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And listen, he goes on. He says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. In other words, oh, come on. To those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, and they will hear and they will understand this concept. That if we live for the notoriety of men, if we live for the praise of people, if we live to be celebrated, we will assuredly miss the whole point and the whole concept of Christianity. Because Jesus didn't come to be celebrated, to be notarized, to become a rock star and to become a celebrity and to become of that celebrity status. In fact, your Bible says he came as a servant and he gave himself as a ransom for many. The Son of Man suffered many things. And this is what he's saying. He's saying to you, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, boys, he said, what you're about to see happen to me, I know that you're looking and seeing me being celebrated, and you're seeing them coming out with the palm branches, and you're seeing them singing praises to my name, and they're celebrating me right now. But what you're about to see is what is to be expected of anyone who carries the message that I carry. What am I talking about today? See, because watch, let me go on here. Let me move on. Now I'm going to go to John 19. John 19, I'm going to give you the beginning and I'm going to give you the end. And then we're going to talk about the middle. And it's the middle which produces the transition from palm branches to the palms of hands. So again, I gave you the beginning, John 18, laying out the palm branches, laying out the celebration. They are glorifying the Son of Man. They're welcoming the Messiah with open arms. But watch this. The same people go from John 18 to John 19. Now watch, I want to show you this. Here we go. John 19. So then Pilate, so Jesus, time transitions. There's a process of time here. So then Pilate takes Jesus and begins to scourge him. So right off the bat, it's like, what? Here you are celebrating him, but now he's being scourged. Now he's put on trial. And the soldiers twist a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on a purple robe, and they say, "Hail the King of the Jews." So they go to mocking him. And they strike him. Listen to this. And they struck him with their hands, likely the palm of their hands. And Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." And then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." And therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate said unto them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And the Jews answered him. Now listen, guys, this is not just the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and the Sadducees crying out for his crucifixion. I can show you in the book of John, the people, the same people that was celebrating him a chapter before are now calling for his crucifixion. They said, "We have a law, and according to our law, he should die because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" And Jesus gave no answer. And then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and power to release you?" And Jesus answered and said, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend, for whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard these sayings, he brought Jesus out, sat him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew it's called Gabbatha. And now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered and said, we have no king but Caesar. And they delivered him to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Now stop. Again, let's elaborate a little bit on this. Let's talk about this for a minute. Again, John 18, they celebrated the Messiah. They welcomed him with open arms. They had palm branches, and they were waving them and glorifying him and praising him, saying, blessed is he, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then we go to John 19, and you've got these people that are now calling for his crucifixion. So what happened between John 18 and John 19 that produced this? The answer is this, and you can study this in your own time. When you begin to study this out in chronological order, you'll discover that Jesus, everything was fine when people were being delivered, when people were given a message of hope, when he was feeding the 5,000, not including women and children, when he was raising the dead, when he was producing these miracles, with the common people, everything was fine. But the moment, listen to me, the moment that he began to defy traditions and began to defy what they had seated as tradition, the religious tradition of their day. Because remember, it always starts with the religious system. The religious system is stirred up. Now, how did Jesus stir up the religious system? Watch. He began to say things like, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. Whosoever eats of me shall never hunger again. I am living water. This whosoever drinks of me shall never thirst again. He began to stir them up by saying that whosoever saves his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for the sake of me will gain it. Begin to say crazy things like, I am the resurrection and the life. Though a man may die, he shall live forever. He began to say things like, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you shall have no part of my kingdom. And when he made that statement alone, he shaved off a majority of his followers, and multitudes walked away and said, dear God, he's gotten into cannibalism. Dear God, he's lost his mind. And others said, this is a hard saying. Who can even receive this? And he had to look at the disciples and reassure that they were still with him, and said, aren't you going to go with them? And there was some there that had the revelation of who he really was, and the fact that they had nowhere else to go because they had given up their lives. They've given up their livelihood. They've given up everything to follow this Messiah. And they said, where can we go? We have nowhere else to go. You alone have the words to eternal life. Friends, listen to me. You say, that is great. This is a great message, Brother Ricky, and it's a powerful message. But how's it relevant to me? Here's how it's relevant to you. Listen, if you desire to have everybody's approval, and you desire to have friendship with everyone, and never rock the boat, and never tip the boat, and never do anything controversial, and you choose to have and live and walk out passive progressive Christianity, what does that mean? It means that your law, come on somebody, it means that your message is never controversial. It never stirs up anyone. It never agitates the devil. It never causes controversy. It makes everybody feel good. It makes everybody happy. And it is stamped and given the approval of the religious system of the day. Then friends, I'm telling you, if that's the Christianity that you choose to have, then it is contrary to the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Again, if he preached that message, everybody was his friend. But the moment he began to speak truth, come on, the Bible says the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You ever notice that everybody likes a Christian that speaks half-truths? I get a little bit worried. Listen, I get a little bit concerned about Christians that has a lot of secular friends, that has a lot of agnostic and atheist friends, because I question immediately what kind of gospel that they're preaching, or if they're even preaching the gospel at all. I question their lifestyle. Are they sanctified? Are they set apart? Are they truly living for Christ? Have they come out from among them? Because the chances are, according to my Bible, it says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? So therefore, when I study this Bible, it tells me that a person who makes themselves a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now, what does that mean? God hates you? No, I don't really discern it as much as that as I do this, that if you're truly walking as Christ walked and filled with the Holy Spirit and you're preaching the gospel truth, it's going to divide the sheep from the goat and the wheat from the tare. Listen, you won't have any problem separating yourself from the world. You won't have any problem separating yourself from unbelievers and people that have no desire to serve Christ, because what comes out of your mouth is going to automatically separate and divide them. And this is what we see with Jesus. Again, everybody celebrates the Jesus that can do something for them. Well, we were hungry and he fed us fish. He fed us bread. My son was dying. He raised him from the dead. My mother-in-law was sick. He walked in. He pulled her up. The fever left. There was another boy that was in a coffin and he walked up. He touched the coffin and the coffin came open and the boy was alive. There was a man that was dead and he was dead for 4 days and he was stinking and he stood up the tomb and he screamed his name and he came out alive. And he had grave clothes on him. They took the grave clothes off. Everybody is a friend to a Messiah or to a God who can do things for them. But what about, come on, but how many, oh, come on. Everybody's a friend to a Savior, but very few are willing to follow a Lord. Let me say that again. Very few, there multitudes want to have a Savior. They want to be saved out of hell. They want to be saved from torment. They want to be saved from gnashing and weeping of teeth. They want to be saved from an eternity separated from God. They want love. They want compassion. They want mercy. And they want forgiveness. And they want blessing. But there is few that want the Jesus that is Lord. Jesus said, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Many, and then he says, why do you continually call me Lord and don't do what I tell you to do? So again, the moment that Jesus began to preach a gospel that cost them something. Abandon your idols. Abandon your sin. Abandon your lifestyle. Abandon your addictions. Lay down, come on, your selfishness. Lay down your pride. Give up your traditions of men. The moment that Jesus began to come on, to turn over the golden calves of that day and get up in people's business, the same people who loved him in John 18 are the same people in John 19 saying, get this guy out of my face. Put him on the cross and give us Barabbas. Crucify him. Now, you want scripture for it? David understood this in Psalms chapter 38, verse 20. Psalms 38, 20. David said, those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries because I follow what is good. Let me say that again. The people who render evil for good, They are my adversaries because I follow what is good. Did you notice that? In other words, David said, if you want adversaries, just do what God says to do. Do good things. And listen, good things is not always helping the poor, helping the needy. You know what? Listen, you know what a good thing is? It's not just helping an old lady cross the street. Or dropping some groceries off to a widow. Those are things we should be doing. That is, even the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. Okay? But it also says that he went about healing all that were oppressed and sick of the devil. You know what another good thing is? A good thing is when you tell someone the truth. Hey, my brother or my sister, if you don't repent and give your heart to Jesus Christ and let him wash you and cleanse you and your name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Look, I love you, but if you don't get yourself right with God, you will pass into eternity and you will go to hell. Friends, that may not sound like good news, but it is the good news that Jesus is the answer. But depending on the a level of darkness that they have on the inside of them will determine whether they will receive that, come on, as bad news or good news. Because again, this will be determined right away by what comes out of your mouth. So the good news is telling someone that they are doing something that can bring them harm, bring them destruction. And you stepping in and giving them the remedy, giving them the hope, giving them the answer. My friend, that is the good news. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, and then I'm going to close this podcast today. The Apostle Paul said, yes, and all who, listen to this, clean out your ears. You need to write this scripture down. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Notice he said those who desire to live godly. In other words, it's not about what we just say. Because listen, I remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord and I had all my party buddies and my friends that I hung out with, and I began to tell them, I gave my heart to the Lord. I'm going to church now. I'm serving God now. I'm reading the Word of God now. They were cool with that. They were okay with that. They were saying, okay, you know, it's really not my cup of tea. Quote unquote, religion is not my thing, but I'm cool with that. I respect that. I had a lot of them say that. Most of them respected that. But watch this. But the moment that they saw in me the evident change that I desired to live godly, that's when persecution came. When I no longer wanted to smoke weed with them, I was persecuted. When I no longer used four-letter words like they did, when they used GD around me, I cringed and said, can you please not say that? That's when persecution came. When they wanted to go to the party, and I said, no, I don't do that anymore. That's when persecution came. When I didn't listen to the music that they listened to any longer, that's when persecution came. Again, those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. So let me close by saying this. You can desire to live and follow, you can follow the Jesus. And you say, well, I want the Jesus that everybody celebrated. And they cut the palm branches down and they waved them and said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And everybody celebrated him and everybody welcomed him. Well, I hate to tell you, my friend, but the same Jesus that was celebrated in John 18 is the same Jesus that was being falsely accused, lied on, spat on, beaten on, and put on trial at the judgment seat and being put on a cross in John 19. What does that tell you and I? Again, why am I preaching this today? Why am I teaching this today? I want to help somebody today. Come on, we are exposing today on many levels, we are exposing this false Christianity that is prevalent today. It's all over Christian television. Every time I turn on Christian television, they're preaching a Jesus that's celebrated, a Jesus that's excited to hear, a Jesus that never rocks the boat, a Jesus that never gets up in any business, a Jesus that never calls for repentance, a Jesus that never calls for the transformation of people or the holiness of people or sanctification of people or calling people to set things aside or die to themselves or take up their cross and follow after him. Never hear that anymore. Instead, it's this, all I hear about is this Jesus is portrayed in John 18. Just come, we're going to have a celebration service of Jesus. Everybody's happy, everybody's smiling, nobody's mad, nobody's ticked off, nobody's getting convicted. We are putting a stop to this foolishness. And I'm going to tell you, listen, you may not like what I've got to say today, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. If you ever decide to really follow after the Lord and you begin to live godly and decide that you're going to crucify yourself and you're going to put the cross before you and the world behind you, get ready for persecution, because it's coming from your family, it's coming from your friends, it's coming from your coworkers, it's coming from your church, possibly, maybe your pastor, maybe those closest to you. So to some, this may not sound like good news, but others, it's going to confirm to you what you already knew, or B, it's going to be a breath of fresh air, knowing that there are brothers and sisters out there that are walking through the same persecutions and the same trials and the same temptations that you and I are walking through today. So I want to, listen, before we pray for you today, I want to give you an opportunity to be able to find us on different locations where you can keep up with our ministry. So endtimeheadlines.org. So just stick by, guys, because we're going to pray for you. endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you can go to find our main website where you can subscribe. There's a place where you can subscribe at the top and hit the just fill out your name, put your email address, hit the button subscribe. You'll get one email in your inbox every single day, and that's going to be our digest to keep up with our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Now, there's a second way, and I encourage you to do both. If you do both, you're going to assure that you're not going to miss anything. If you have an Apple phone or an iOS device, go to the Apple store. If you have an Android, go to the Android store. I want you to type in End Time Headlines, get and download our free app. If you download that, get that into your hands, you can keep up again with all of our ministry, what's happening, our podcast, our YouTube channel, all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. It's all going to be there right in your hands. You can hit, turn those push notifications on so you can be notified. Every single thing is going to be there for you. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of edification, blessing, information, and revelation, and you would like to help support us or partner with us on a monthly basis, you can do that going to the app or going to the main website and giving electronically. There's places where you can see to do that, or you can give by check or money order at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So as I promised, guys, let's pray for everybody listening under the sound of my voice, whether it be podcast, YouTube, or Facebook, or however they may hear this message today. Father, I pray for every one of my brothers and sisters today. Lord, I pray for those who are walking this out right now. Lord, there's a temptation. There's a temptation that they're being tempted with right now to live this lukewarm Christianity that will produce no persecution, that will not rock the boat, it will not stir up the religious. It won't stir up devils. It won't draw attention, but it'll make everybody happy and it'll make everybody pleased with you. And Lord, for those that are watching this today and they're being tempted by that, we know that that is not of you, God. Nowhere in the scriptures. In fact, Lord, your word says that you wish that we would either be hot or cold, but we can't live in the middle. So Lord, I'm asking that you would give strength by the power of the Holy Spirit today to help us today, all of us, to live the lifestyle that you've called us to live, Lord, to be sold out, to be dead to the world, dead to this present age, to be in this world, but not of this world, to put the cross before us and the world behind us. And Lord, I know that as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to be tempted to take the easy path, to take the easy road. And Lord, I thank you by my own experiences that I know that if we lose some friends on the way because of the gospel truth separating friends, Lord, then we know, according to your word, that you're able to restore that which we've lost. And I pray for every individual that has lost a godly friend, a loved one, a family member, because now they hate you because of the God that lives on the inside of you, or because of your lifestyle change and the transformation in your life. I'm praying right now that God would send you a wonderful friend, a friend I'm going to pray it like this, that God would send a David out there, a Jonathan, and a Jonathan, a David. A friend that is like-minded, that has a kindred spirit, that you can get in the trenches together, you can pray together, you can walk through battles together, you can go through hardships together, you can go through the good times and the bad times, and they're going to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother to you. That's what I'm praying for you today, and for my sisters as well today. I pray that same for you as well. And Father, we just thank you for this word today. I pray that it would not return void, but it will go forth and it will equip and establish that what is sent forth to do and produce much fruit. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Guys, we're going to sign off for today. Again, as you can see behind me, I'm back in my friend's dance studio. We've got internet issues at the place that we're staying. And we're hoping to get that resolved this weekend so that we can be back to our normal location and normal setting when we do these podcasts. But I know that you guys don't really care about that. You're more interested in the message. So we appreciate that. So we're just letting you know, giving you updated. We may be back on tomorrow. I don't want to make any promises. We got a lot going on. Continue to pray for us. We are down to 3 weeks, guys, until our house is finished. We do a walkthrough, and then the following, and then about 6 days after that, we officially close on the house. So I am super excited about that. Why? Because not only are we getting to our house, but also I'll have my own office again, and we're going to have our podcast studio in there. So I'm super excited about that. So I appreciate your prayers for myself, for my family, and for this ministry, and of course your generous support as well. So we love you guys. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.